Well, I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for joining me again. I want to talk today about public image. And the reason I thought about this and the reason we came up with this particular topic today was because of a text that I had with my son actually a few hours ago. So this is very fresh. You know, as we kind of already know, I'll just lay it out there. You know, he's headed to Washington. So there's been a lot of stuff going on with that. And, you know, he's gotten his, now everything's official. So he's headed there. So, you know, I kind of keep up with him through social media because he's busy. So that's how I kind of see what's going on with him. And he had posted a picture today. And as soon as it came across my feed, I was like, whoa, what are you doing? Like, what is this? Like, why are you have this? So immediately I pick up the phone and I send him a text message. And I'm like, hey, buddy, like, what's going on with this picture? Like, why are you posting this picture? And he's kind of like, oh, laugh out loud, Dad, it's just a meme. And I'm like, no, son, that's not just a meme. And he was like, no, Dad, you don't understand. You know, you're old. I'm like, okay, well, I'm old. That's fine. But let me explain to you, so are your coaches. Your coaches are the same age I am. And if I mistook what this meme meant, imagine what your coaches in Washington are going to think when they see this. They're going to have the same questions for you that I did. Like, why would you post this? Why is this something you even want to be affiliated with? I was like, were you there when this happened? Were you in this picture? And he's like, no, it's just a meme. And I said, okay, not a good thing. Not a good thing to be posting, you know, your image. You got to be very conscious of things like that. And he's like, well, you know, Dad, I also posted some pictures of me at the shooting range. Okay, yeah, well, that's not a good thing either. And he's just like, well, damn, you know, what can I post? Like, this is lame. I can't even post what I want. And it just leads me into the whole idea of what these kids have to deal with on a regular basis. They can't just be regular kids growing up and post things and put something stupid out there. And people are just like, oh, it's just a kid being silly. Like, this is something that people are going to be like, well, why are you posting that? Why are you talking about weapons? What kind of image are you portraying to the public? And it was just this long text stream. And it's one of those things where now he's headed to Washington, Pacific Northwest. I don't have that, the luxury of being able to drive down there and put a foot in his butt about some stupid that he did, you know? So it was just like, hey, you really have to be careful and be cautious of what you put out there and what you put on social media, because people are always going to judge it. They're going to say, well, you're putting this meme up. Are you making fun of people like that? You know, why are you encouraging this type of lifestyle? And it was harmless in his mind and the way he saw things. But having been there through football, you know, my mom being a military mother and about discipline and things like that, I knew immediately at 49 what that picture represented and what was in that picture and the broader picture that it painted beyond just a little meme.
What was the picture?
Well, it was
what was this meme?
Yeah,
I love the idea that your son thinks you don't understand what a meme is first. He's right, like, yeah, you don't even get the internet, which is insulting in itself.
Very, very insulting. But
what was the meme?
It was a group of young men. You know, they had their shirts off, they had their pants sagging off.
Not famous people, just regular
dudes.
No, just
regular guys, just wherever. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's okay, you post this picture and they had some items showing that weren't the most appropriate things to be showing.
Like a gun? And,
well, I mean, it was just some things.
So what made it a meme then?
Well, it had, what's the princess from Bubblegum? I don't even know what the meme was. Right, that's why I was just like, dude, I understand what a meme is,
yeah,
but this doesn't seem like it's a meme. Like, you have all these guys portraying this negative lifestyle, and you got this one little cartoon character in there. It's like,
oh, Princess Bubblegum?
Yeah.
From Adventure Time with, yeah, Finn and Jake.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, that's not a good look, because, okay, you know, when I see it, my mind instantly went to, I got protection mode. Mm-hmm. I got to protect you. I got to protect your image. I got to protect who you are, what you represent. And so he's like, well, Dad, I don't get it. It was just a meme. And other people don't play football. Other people aren't in the limelight like you are. Yeah. You can't afford to make those mistakes. What's funny for me and you to sit here and laugh about can potentially ruin his career. And
did you feel like it was like before he even really got his footing down in Washington, he was already making mistakes?
Not that he was making mistakes, but I just maybe I'm overprotective, having been there, played in the NFL, and knowing how the simplest little thing can be taken by Joe Blow and they run with
right.
it. You know, we had the incident with Ja Morant and, you know, everything that happened about that. And so my mind, as a father, you know, I'm the one man who wants to see you be better than me.
So it's even beyond, like, his potential to ruin his career. It's almost you tapping in as a father and seeing people perceive your son in a negative light.
Exactly.
And also as a black athlete, which is even more scrutinized.
Yes, absolutely. So this is a fine line that he has to walk. And so there was some text back and forth. So I knew when I first saw it, I had to gather my composure, because I didn't want to come across as telling him what to do, demanding, and, you know, you're 3 years old. No, I talked to him man to man, like, hey, this isn't a good idea. It's not a good look. And when he realized, and after I talked to him, I was very patient. You know, I wasn't yelling through the text message. I was talking to him, and he realized, you know what, Dad, now that I think about it, you're right. It's not a good look. It's not what I want to be portrayed as. So it was just a learning experience for him to know that everything that you put out there, whatever joke you put out there, you have to think about, well, what's the other side to this? What's the good side? What's the bad side? How are people going to perceive me? What are they going to think about me? Is this the light I want to be portrayed in?
But also, it's like you mentioned that he said he posted pictures of him at the gun range. So people are contextualizing not just that singular picture of, you know, like some hood people with guns. They're also seeing a picture of you at the gun range. And when I take the full picture, now I can see you're interested in guns.
Yeah.
Is this another Ja Morant situation? We could see what Ja Morant is going through. He loves guns.
Right. He made a stupid mistake. And he's paying for it. And he's constantly going to pay for that. Anytime he makes any kind of gestures, anything that he does that even remotely resembles that.
Yeah, he do a finger point on the field. They be like, this is the gun kid saying.
And, you know, it's just with today's climate and weapons and young adults, it's just like, you don't even want to touch that. I don't even want you near that.
Right.
And it was tough for me because I don't want to come off to him like I'm telling you how to live your life.
Right.
I don't want to be running you and telling you this is how you should do it. This is the way you should do it. It's like, listen, 49 years old, here's my life experiences. Here's what I've seen from other people. Here's how it turned out for them. I don't want that for you. There's no such thing as a perfect person. Let's just get that out there right now. Somebody's always going to find fault in you. But there are things that you can control as a young athlete, as a young adult coming up, that, hey, you know what? That's not a good look. You know, I may enjoy going to the gun range and shooting, but I don't need to post that out there. You know, let's try to keep the public perception one that is like, oh, this is a good kid. He's a wholesome kid, which he is. He's a good kid, but he may enjoy doing some things that you may not agree with, and all it takes is, you know, some keyboard tough guy to be like, oh, we got another thug. And it's like, no, that's not what he's about. That's not who he is. But because of one mistake, and then somebody captions it with something, or they take it out of context, and now he's become some villain. And it's like, no, that's not who he is. So my big thing as a father, my emotional side was protect my child. You know, protect him from himself, protect him from social media, which in and of itself is impossible.
It's impossible.
It's so hard.
It is so hard to there's a new social media platform every day. And also, we also understand how social media impacts not just children, but like most industries.
Yeah.
Do you sometimes feel like, you know, this kind of element is kind of a psychological warfare element? Like, you have these players that get these outside of the game distractions. And at face value, it's like, yeah, you can't really focus on that. But eventually those distractions manifest themselves in the games. Do you feel like people intentionally kind of create these storylines to distract these players and take them off their game?
I don't know if they do it to take them off their game, but I definitely think that they do it for clickbait. They do it to sell articles. They want to – controversy sells. I mean, you can hear about – I can tell you about football players who've won some of the greatest sportsmanship awards, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But the minute you hear about, oh, so-and-so got a DUI, or so-and-so got into an argument, he was at a bar late night and got a DUI, that's plastered all over social media. I mean, before he can even get down to the booking station, it's already across the social media. Yeah. So it's just like these young men have to – they live in a world that's not realistic because they can't make mistakes. but they're human beings and they're gonna make mistakes. Now, some things, you know, drinking and driving, obviously, you can control that. But, you know, if somebody sees you out and you're with a couple of young ladies and you're not, let's say you're not married, let's say you're single, oh, why is he with all those girls? Look at him, he's a womanizer. And it's like, but he's a young man, right. He's enjoying life. So everybody's always gonna have something to say. But at the end of the day, they have to try and build, I guess, a public persona of, hey, I'm a good guy, I do things the right way. Because at the end of the day, you're always trying to market yourself. You're always trying to get that next dollar. You know, if you're being marketed here, you want to get to that next plateau. And people seeing stuff like that, that's not going to go over well.
And it's also like surrounding yourself with the people who also understand that that's your intention.
Right.
And we talk about the Ja Morant situation. Yeah. We all know that it was his best friend that played a heavy role in that. Yeah. And eventually,
had a camera right there.
Yeah, eventually, I mean, I don't know the specifics of what went down, you know, but all of a sudden you stop seeing that friend around.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that was a Ja Morant decision, or maybe that was a management or upper executive decision, but they had to get those people away from him that were helping facilitate those decisions that were going against his best interests.
Absolutely. And that's the hardest thing as an athlete, because I know for me, when I was growing up, I had a group of friends, and those were my boys.
Right.
You know, I thought we were like that, thick as thieves. We were always going to be together.
And how do you tell that person you're not going on the journey?
And
with
how do you tell that person? Because at some point, you reach a level where you're like, I'm doing this, and you're still right here, and you're weighing me down. How do you say to that person who's been there since day one, hey, man, I love you, but I'm headed in a different trajectory than you are. Oh, well, you're not keeping it real. What is that? I'm not keeping it real. I am keeping it real. I'm keeping it real to me and who I am and what I want to be in life. And if you're not a part of that, then you're going to be a hindrance. You're going to bring me down.
Friendship breakups are not fun.
They're not. Because
how many real
ugly
friends have you had to really break up with?
Wow.
I think whenever I have a friendship breakup, I hope that my non-communication, like, I'm such a non-confrontationalist.
Yeah,
I hope that if I don't contact you enough, you'll get that I'm kind of not here anymore.
Like, that is tough, because I've been in those situations, and it's like people from high school that I saw as, we're going to, you know, this is my boy, we're always going to be together. I get to college, and I can't do those things anymore.
Yeah.
Things that were fun and cute when we were in high school, that's not that way anymore. And here he is. He's still in that same hometown. Here I am in college. I'm on a just a different platform now. And things that I used to be able to say, things that were jokes, are not jokes anymore.
No.
Now they're front line, you know, front page on the social on media at my time, newspaper, but now social media. Yeah. Any little blurb, anything that you say that people are like, what did he just say? Did he just say, oh, he doesn't like the color orange? Oh, whoa, that's terrible. You shouldn't be that way. But to go back to what you were talking about, breaking up, and I think that's funny, it's funny to say it, because you do, because it's somebody that you genuinely care about. And to have to one day realize that this person's not good for
right.
me. Like, that's very tough for a young adult to have to deal with one day, to think that somebody who I thought was my best friend in high school is now becoming a distant memory in college. And it's crazier, the higher you go in college and the better you do, those friends from college, you make it to the NFL, you distance yourself from them too. Because now you have guys that want to talk to you about money. Hey, I got this great investment opportunity. Well, how come it didn't work out well for you? You know, you're bringing it to me, but I don't want to do that. You know, so it's very difficult to have to break up with friends. I mean, because you feel like you love them and you feel like you would do anything for them. And if they're really your friend, then they understand that. And they know, it's like, look, man, you know, I've had family members who are, you know, they're a little bit on, sometimes on the wrong side of the law.
We all got them.
Yeah. And as I got older and as I became more mature and I became more worldly, I started realizing, like, wow, their worldview is just this little neighborhood.
It's just here.
It's right here. They don't mean to be that way. They don't mean to try to pull you down.
They don't even understand it sometimes.
They don't understand it at all. They don't get what they're doing. And it's just like, okay, like, I have to distance myself. And that's so hard. It's like you said, that hurts to have to do that. So you kind of, you know, fall back on phone calls. You know, you don't call as much. And you're hoping that maybe they'll get the hint. But then it doesn't work that way.
It
it's
never
like,
does.
Oh, you're not keeping it real. Oh, you're too good for me. You're out here hanging in your bougie neighborhoods with your, No, no, yeah. man. These people are growing, and they're growing in the same direction I am. They have the same things to lose that I do, so I am safer in this crowd. You know, people always want to say, well, these guys, they'll look out for me. But those guys will be the first one to have something jump off. You know, they'll overreact to a situation, somebody bump into you. Whereas in my world, I'm like, okay, he bumped into me. Watch, you know, no big deal, brother. You're all right. Everything's cool. Whereas in their world, that's an attack on my manhood. Yeah. You're trying to make me less than a man, so now I have to defend myself. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so that was the first thing that I saw when I looked at that picture. You know, I wish I could, I had the whole text stream, but it was just like, these are the people you're surrounding yourself with?
Yeah.
That was immediately before anything else. This is the kind of crowd that you're hanging around? Like, right. You never grew up like that. You grew up in the suburbs of Chandler. You went to Hamilton High School. You know, like, this is not your world. Like, why would you even post something like that? You have no idea what those people's struggles are, what they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis is nothing that you even understand. So my first thing was, why are you posting this? Okay, well, you're not in that picture. You're not hanging around those kind of people. Then why are you making fun of it? Are you making fun of it now? You know, so it was just so many things that went into just a single picture. And then when I texted him and we were going back and forth, it was, he understood.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was so, it was a relief. It was like, oh, thank God. Like, he gets it. I'm not coming down on you. I'm not telling you how to live your life as much as I am. I'm like, no, don't go over there. Don't do that. Stay right here. I know it sucks to always have to be squeaky clean. You got your khakis and your button up on and everything is so prim and proper. There's a time for you to express who you are and let people know, hey, this is what I stand for. This is what I don't stand for. This is not that time. This, leave that alone. You have nothing to do with that. You've never been a part of that world. You don't understand that world. And so if you're trying to be a part of it, you shouldn't be doing it. And are you poking fun? You shouldn't be doing that either.
Not only as a father, but as a parent of someone who's now leaving the nest, if you will. He's not going to another state. You said that you felt some relief that he had some understanding of where you were coming from. But did that generally increase your fears and apprehensions of who he might be and what he might get into with the distance of being in Washington?
No. I'm not worried about him falling into that kind of crowd. It never crossed my mind until I saw that picture. And then instantly, like you were saying, I'm like, is this the kind of person he is? And then I said, you know what, Russell, you're overreacting. Let's reel it in a little bit. Take a breath. Let's find out what's going on. And he thought it was kind of funny. Like, you're tripping, Dad. Like, no, I'm from the suburbs, bro. Like, what are you talking about? I went to Hamilton High School. I went to Bogle Junior High. Like, no, I don't do that. It was just, I guess he thought it was funny or it was some kind of little like, ho, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
But it's not, though.
It's not.
Because I told him, I said, you got to think. I have the same mindset that your coaches have.
Yeah.
Your coaches see that. Deuce, what are you doing? That's not who we are. That's not what we want to portray. And that was instantly what I thought. Like, I can't have him out there like that. I can't have him looking like that. But I'm so happy that the interaction between the two of us was one of mutual respect. I talked to him like a young man. He listened to me as his father. And we came to that common ground of, you know what, Dad, you're right. It sucks that I can't put out there and just kind of joke around and have a good time. But that's the price of fame. This is what I signed up for. This is what comes with it. And that's what these young men and women have to deal with. And if you don't have somebody there to say to you, hey, don't do that, take that down, delete that. Because how many times have we seen it in the real world where somebody posts something at 16, 17 years old, and here they are, they get drafted in the NFL, the NBA, WNBA.
And they're dragging it back up.
And they drag it back up. And that's just, those are the fears that I had when I saw all that flash through my mind like that.
So you have a perspective that's different from the perspective that you had to deal with when you were a kid. Now you have an understanding of social media is not only way bigger, but it's immediate and it's uncontrollable once it gets out there.
Absolutely.
How was that with you when you were going through the same thing that Deuce was?
it was very different for me because, you know, my mother is a single parent, you know, military mom, comes from a very disciplined background as far as being in the military. And that's how I was brought up, you know, very much. This is what you're supposed to do. Tell me what I need to do. Let's get it done. And so I can remember a funny story that I was probably about eighth or ninth grade, because ninth grade in North Carolina is still junior high. And
now, paint that picture for ninth grade. Were you like into football? Did you have like a career mindset for football?
No, you just out there having fun. I was a ninth grader playing football.
Some of these kids start so early. I first picked the football up when I was 6 years old.
No. Just to kind of give you a backstory on that, my mom never wanted me to have anything to do with football.
Oh.
She was so against football. I did swimming. I did soccer. I did a little equestrian.
She had you out here doing rich people sports.
Yes. I was a little bit of a spoiled kid, little army brat.
You was on a horse.
I attempted. I don't know if you would say I was on it. I tried. I got bucked a few times. And after I hit the ground, I was like, you know what, Mom? I don't know if this is for me. And so it was just, I played all these sports. And then when I was in junior high, you know, we got football for the first time.
Yeah.
So, you know, my coach is like, hey, big man, come on, get out here. We need you. We want you. And my mom's like, no. And it was just a constant, mom, please, I want to play. And so finally she gave in to the pressure of, okay, Russell, you can play football. Like, and I was so, so happy. And it's funny that we're even talking about this, because one of the first times she actually saw me in a contact drill, it was an angle tackle. So I would run down the sideline, the running back was coming down the sideline, and I had to come from an angle and tackle him. So I'm the running back, and I got another big lineman coming. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to run his ass over. Boom, and we hit. And I just remember laying on my back, and I could hear my mom go, oh, my God. And I was like, okay, get up. Don't let your mom come out here. Like, that's the most embarrassing thing that could ever happen to you is mom come out there and be like, oh, my God, is my baby okay? But, you know, my mom was very much about discipline and order and just protecting who you are. And being in the South, you know, it could be very dangerous in the South. You know, young black man, there's a lot of things that I dealt with that my kids don't have to deal with. So my mom was very protective of me, not having that father figure there to be, you know, to kind of put a foot in your butt when you get out of line. So right. It was mom. And I remember as I got older, eighth grade, ninth grade, you know, I'm starting to feel myself. I'm a little bit bigger than mom. I don't, you know, whatever. I hear you talking, but I don't have to listen to you. And my mom always had this thing about coming home. This is after football season now. So, you know, she's like, come home, check in, let me know what's going on with you. And I'm like, okay. So I always did that. No problem. But here comes young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
This young lady at school that I got, you know, I got the eye for, and I like her. I don't know if she likes me. So I'm kind of, oh, okay, do you like me? You know, real goofy. I wasn't as smooth as I am now. I didn't have the riz.
And no game.
Oh, zero game.
So that's what me and you have in common. Zero riz.
And so I'm like, I remember, you know, this young lady, she was like, hey, I'm having a party after school. I was like, like, it was just the world froze around me. Nothing else mattered. She's having a party.
I got to get to that.
How party. Do I get to this party? And not in my mind thinking like, dude, she's talking to you. So obviously she wants you to be there. Didn't think.
Why don't we ever think of that?
We're so single-minded.
Just put it right on the silver platter.
Yeah. Hey. And I'm like, she was like, are you going to come? Uh-huh. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm going to this party. It's all I could think about the rest of the day. She was having this party that afternoon. She was having it at her place. This is great. Now, I'm living on Fort Bragg's military base, so it's very much a sheltered environment. You know, you can't come on base unless you're military. So, you know, you get a lot of freedom to roam and go places. So after school, you know how it was when you're young. You walk home, and there's just a big crowd of y'all just having a great time. So we leave school, and all my buddies are like, hey, you going to the party? I'm like, yeah, man, we're going to the party. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to see this young lady
there. How was that party even supposed to play out? Were her parents home?
No.
How long was the party even going to go for?
Until it got broken up. You know how that is.
Until the wheels fall off.
Yeah, we were going to go till somebody came and told us we had to go.
Did you have an escape plan?
No, I already told you. There was nothing. I was thinking about nothing, but I like her. She just invited me to a party. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there.
That's all you cared about.
All I cared about. Didn't care about anything else going on. So, you know, we're all walking. Me and my boys trying to be cool. Like, yeah, man, we're going to get over here and these girls. And I'm sure at that time, everybody's like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So we get there. And now, mind you, I'm supposed to go home first.
Right.
Check in, let my mom know what's going on, discipline, order, following rules. Nope, not when young ladies are in the picture. So we go over to the party. And I can't even tell you how long I was there. Maybe an hour, maybe 30 minutes. I don't know. But I remember going into the kitchen to get something to drink and coming out of the refrigerator and looking out the, like, the sink is here. And so there's a window, like, right here in the kitchen. So I'm, like, getting the drinks, and I look. I see my mom walking through the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, wow, that's my mom. Now, mind you, looking back on it, I don't think it was as scary as I thought it was then, but it was like, oh my God, that's my mom. And she looked like she had a big Captain Caveman stick over her shoulder. And she's walking towards the apartments, and I'm like, that's my mom. I was like, oh dear God, I have really messed up. Like, the fear of God is in me now. Like, I'm like, this woman is gonna embarrass me in front of all these people. It's all I could think about. So I'm like, put the drinks down, didn't say nothing to the young lady. I go out the back door, leaving out the back door. So I'm halfway across the fence. I got one leg over the fence. And my mom came around the building and she ran into my boys. And I don't know the exact conversation, but I heard, oh, there he is right there.
Oh, no.
Come on, man. You know you're not going to take that smoke for your boys.
Wow. Not even a I don't know.
No, they weren't
going to
lie.
Not even a classic I don't know.
No, they. I was coming across one leg across the fence, and I'm like, there he is. And I'm like, oh, come on. So, all right, I get over the fence, and I'm like, all right, Russell, you can't be no punk. Like, you got to stand tall right now. So this is a conversation I'm having in my head. And so I see her walking towards me, and to me, I felt like I was looking at her like this. You know, my mom's probably like 5'5", you know, 5'6" max. And I'm looking at her like, oh my gosh, she's 10'10". She's like 700 pounds. She's got this big oak stick. Like, to this day, I can't tell you if it was a switch. I don't even know.
Or
if
a tree branch. I know a switch. I grew up in the South. I know what a switch is. I know when they say go out and get a switch, you have messed up.
You have messed up. So in my mind, the way it was playing in my head was it was this big oak stick over her shoulder. God. And I'm like, okay, all right, Russell, you can't run. You know, you got to stay in here and be, you know, be cool. Don't let your boys see you show any kind of fear. So I'm looking at her, and as she gets closer, I can see her eyes. And, like, I can see she means business. And I just took off running. I took off running. And I'm glad y'all are getting a good laugh out of this.
That might have saved your life, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
You might have died at that point.
She was going to kill me right there because she told me, you need to be home. There's too many things out here that can go wrong. Young black man, you don't need, you know, all these things right. that I just finished talking about with Deuce. This is what she was telling me, but it didn't resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
All I thought about was that young lady. All I thought about was the immediate gratification of being with her, whatever that was, dancing at a party, having a Coke, just whatever
that
was.
A nice smooch on the lips.
A nice on the cheek, and this anything.
From afar.
That would have been enough. But I left there without saying a word to her because I saw my mom, and I was instantly like, I got to go. And so I took off running, and it was probably like a mile from her house to my house. I think I ran the entire time. I probably ran like a 4-minute mile.
And timed yourself.
Oh, I was moving.
That's pretty good speed, Russ.
Oh, bro. I think that's why I'm a good athlete now to this day, because I dodged butt whoopings a lot. I was a runner. I was a runner. I always ran. I would run away from butt whoopings. But I get there. I get to the house, and I'm sitting on the porch, and she's just walking. It's like a horror movie.
That is a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
The calmness of a parent who knows you have made a mistake and they got you.
And I got you.
I got you.
No matter where you go.
You know I got you too. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else left.
I'm sitting on the front porch and I'm just looking. I see her coming up the street.
Whew.
And I just, as she gets closer, she just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm like, so now I see her coming up the grass and she's walking up towards the front porch. And I'm like this, like, you about to hand me the baton to take off. Because I'm like, she's not going to hit me. I'm like, I'm not taking this butt whip, but I'm not going to do it. I was ready to run again. She goes, don't worry, you got to come in. That's all she said. It walked right on by me and went inside. God.
My heart is racing for
and
you.
And I said, no, I don't. I don't know what came over me to say.
What, you gonna move?
I was like, no, I'm not. I'll sleep on the porch.
You gave up living inside.
I gave up.
Out of
I
was fear of your mother.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess I'm an outdoorsman now.
I will be. And I remember being out there, and it started getting dark, and you know the lights were on in the house. She's moving around in the house. Hasn't come outside to check on me once. And finally, it was like, bro, you got to go in. Like, you got to go in. And I'm like, how do I go in? How am I going to do this? Like I'm having this whole debate. Like, how is this going to happen? And finally, I just said, all right, I got to go in. So I open the door, and I'm like, looking. Okay, all right, seems cool. I walk in, and I'm listening out for her, and I don't hear her. So it's freaking me out even more because I don't know where she is.
She could be anywhere. She could be in the ceiling. She could be under the floorboards.
When I bent a corner, all I remember was the backhand caught me like right here. Boom, I was like, oh. And as soon as she hit me, I just turned. I was ready to run again. And I was headed towards the back door. She goes, don't worry about it. I'm not going to chase you. She goes, what did I tell you when you left here this morning? I'm standing by the door. You told me to be home? No, I didn't. You don't listen. I said, come home, check in, let me know what's going on. This is where the mother comes out now. Mm-hmm. I was scared. I was worried about you. I didn't know where you were. I didn't know how to get in contact with you. I was worried that the worst had happened to you. And I get that now. I get that as a parent. I understand her fear, the anxiety of like not knowing where your child is. You know how crazy this world is. Right. You know how things are. Your mind instantly goes to a place of, oh my God, is he involved with the police? Is he somewhere he shouldn't be? Is he in a danger? All these things were going on in my mind. I'm like, Mom, I'm just here, shut up. And I'm like, okay. And so it just, to look back on that and then to kind of put it with what right. I dealt with Deuce, I understand her fear.
That's an enormous weight, for a parent to not only have the worst fears of their child out in the world, experiencing whatever atrocity might be there,
yeah.
but then the pressure of her being a single black mother
yeah.
to deliver on raising a child yeah. to be successful. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that moment for her was just as seared in her memory yeah. as it was yeah, for you.
It was. And at that time, I just thought, my mom's being just, too much. You're being mean. You don't understand. I was just having a good time. And now as an adult, I understand how being a child and having a good time can go bad so quickly.
So quickly.
Let's say I'm over at that young lady's house and we're in a compromising position. Dad walks in. It may have been mutual, but now dad's standing here. Now things get twisted and it's...
And now your mother's son is yeah. at the fury of a grown man.
And so I get that now. And that was my fear with Deuce when I saw that. I just said, in my mind, it was like, oh my God, so much can happen right now.
Right.
There's so many negative things that can come from this. I don't want this to be a part of who he is. I don't want this near his name. I want him to, you want him to be perfect. You want your child to be perfect. And that's not possible.
It's not.
And you strive for it and almost it's a disadvantage. I think sometimes it can make you sick because you're so worried about this public persona because he's an athlete, because my daughter's an athlete, because my son's an athlete, I have to keep up this, I don't want to say facade because that's not the word. It's like you have to keep this up that
this appearance
that they're more than what they are and they're just human beings.
And it's it's not real, but you understand that this is the way that you have to operate when you're in this position.
Yeah.
You have to at least be aware of it. Yeah. Hyper aware even.
Very hyper aware of it. And that to me was just, that was one of those situations. I mean, he's, as a child growing up, there have been times where, I'm like, oh my God, he's late coming home, but he's on his bike with his friends. I'm not too worried, the environment where we live. But this was something that I'm like, this can just go wrong in so many ways. And you didn't mean anything by it. You're just a silly little kid having a good time, young man. I'm just making a joke. And no, it's not. Everything you do.
So, well, I know you probably have the same fears as your mother when she was going through the same thing that you're going through now. Mm-hmm. do you also have an element of forgiveness and understanding, which your mother may not have had for you?
I think as I've gotten older, my mom, we have grown to be, like, we understand each other now. I understand my mom more. I get it, being married, having a wife, having a partner, a companion, somebody that can be like, hey, calm down. You know, you don't have to do this all on your own. My mother was she was the person who loved me. She had to discipline me. So all this came from one person. So you're having, in her defense, she's having to battle all these different emotions. You know, I have to be the person who loves him, but I also have to raise him to be a man.
Right.
And how do I do that? I'm a woman. You know, how do I teach a man how to be a man, you know, without him seeing one? So for me, I do understand my mother, and I think, being older and having my own kids has given me a level of respect and even a deeper love for what she had to go through, because I have a partner there,
right,
that can say, hey, you know what, Russell, ease up. You know, he made a mistake or she made a mistake. And I don't always have to be on them, because there's no greater thing than I'm going to tell your daddy. You know how that is. Yeah. Wait till your daddy get
right,
home.
Wait.
Yeah.
Have you ever told your mom this?
Like, you're putting me on the spot.
This respect you have for her and how she dealt with you. You ever just said, Mom, I get it?
You know, it brings up something that I'm dealing with now and emotions. And, you know, my mom's kind of getting, you know, she has dementia and things like that. So she's having to come out here, and I'm having to learn to be more open. I'm having to learn to be more loving and caring because.
And patient.
And patient because. I saw what it did. My grandmother passed from it. So I saw the tail end of it for my grandmother, because I was off playing football and I'm living my life. And my mother's dealing with her mother having dementia, having Alzheimer's, you know. And so when I finally was like, well, how come nobody told me? Oh, okay. So you think you know what's going on? How about you go down there and see for yourself? And it was just so devastating for me.
It is.
So when I see it with my mother now and dealing with her doctors and, you know, having to go through these things with her, my love for her is just like, wow, you know, you're so strong and you're always trying to do so much on your own. Let me help you. Let me be a part of your life. You know, you don't have to protect me like I'm a little kid anymore, you know? So yeah. I have learned over time and through dealing with this that I do have to be more loving and to let the people that are close to you know every day how much you care about them.
It's so important.
It is because you take it for granted.
You do.
Until you start, because I'm so far away from my mom, so months, years can go by, her being on the East Coast, me being out on the West Coast. It's like, oh, okay, I'll get to it. And it's like, as they get older, you start to see them become frail. You know, like, it's like this woman I was just telling a story about who was 10 feet tall.
And now she's in front of you.
Now she's in front of me. And I just want to, like, oh, my God, Mom. Like, I'm so sorry.
Frail presence now.
Frail presence, right. And in my mind, I just had this picture of this strong, powerful woman. And now that's not the case. So
it's crazy how you perceive things when you're a kid, and then you get old and you gain some new perspective. Mm-hmm. Like when you go back to your old elementary school and you think of how you think of elementary school, it's like this massive fortress.
Yeah.
And then you go back to elementary school and you realize that the lockers were this small.
Yeah.
You're like, why did that even seem so big
like
to me?
Huge.
And that's the same thing you go on your mother. Your mother seemed like just a giant coming down off the hill. And now you see her as a person.
Yeah. As a human being who needs help. And so, you know, it has taught me to be more emotional, be more caring. And I think that's why when I was talking to my son, the first thing I had to do was, okay, Russell, your emotions are jacked up because you're afraid.
Right.
That's the first thing I had to admit to myself was you're afraid that something bad is going to happen to your child. That was the first thing I had to acknowledge. And then once I acknowledged the fear, okay, hey man, you know, I hope this isn't the group of people you're, you know, affiliated with. No, what are you talking about? It's just a meme. So then, okay, comes down a little bit more. Well, you know, I don't think it's just being able to take that second as a parent to step back, to understand what's really going on with me. I'm afraid. To be able to say I'm afraid
is big.
It's huge. And that was like, okay, I get it. Okay. So we're here now. And now when he talks and he's realizing like, yeah, you know, it sucks, that's lame, but I get it. And then to be able to now be your friend and to give you advice, now to say, hey, you know, I know you did that, let's go ahead and take that down. That's not something we want to be a part of your existence or anything that you're trying to do. Let's put up the other pictures. You know, he had a picture where he was working out and he took a picture with his shirt off. He's got a picture of his dog. I'm like, those are the kind of things you put out there.
Now you're sending him memes that you feel are appropriate.
Yeah, now I send
put this meme up. Dad, stop sending me memes.
Yes, exactly.
Stop sending me memes.
Exactly, yes, yes. So like I said, for me, it has been a growth having kids, seeing my mother go through this thing that she's gone through. I have grown as an adult because I was one of those people who was emotionally closed. Like, I just felt like, I'm a man, you deal with it, nobody cares. And that led to times where me and him would butt heads. And, you know, you don't want that because then that creates that distance between you.
Yeah.
And then here comes my wife. Well, you know, you're his father, you're not a child. You need to make the first move.
The duality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The duality of those roles. You have to be close enough to your child to, you know, communicate with them as a friend, but you can't be their friend,
yes,
if you
absolutely
will. You know, I'm not your homie.
Yeah, not at all.
But I want to be your friend.
I want you to come to me and seek advice and, you know, hey, Dad, I need your opinion on this. Yeah. That's what I want. But like you said, I don't care if you don't like me. That's not my job. You know, I don't care. I want you to be a successful young man. And like I've said, I'm the only man that's going to be proud of you when you're better than me. Like, that's what I want for you, man. Like, I want you to stand on my shoulders so that you can see further than I ever saw. And if it takes me putting my foot in your butt and you not understanding until you have kids, I'm okay with that.
That's,
you
know, amazing. I'm the only man that'll be proud of you when you're better than me.
Absolutely.
That's an incredible
I appreciate
take away.
That. Dropping bars out
That's
here.
That's a pretty good one.
Thanks for tuning in to The Route. Don't forget to subscribe and connect with us on socials for exclusive updates. We'll see you next week.